Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Pundarik Vidyanidhi initiated Gadadhar Pandit for the second time. And on the day of Purana Shasti, Pundarik Vidyanidhi saw the festival. Purport. At the beginning of winter, there is a ceremony known as Purana Shasti. This ceremony indicates that from that day forward, a winter covering should be given to Lord Jagannath. That covering is directly purchased from a weaver. According to the Archana Marg, a cloth should be first washed to remove all the starch, and then it can be used to cover the Lord. Pundarik Vidyanidhi saw that the priest neglected to wash the cloth before covering Lord Jagannath. Since he wanted to find some fault in the devotees, he became indignant. Mukham karati vachalam pungulanghaite giring yatkripatamaham vande sri gurung dinatarinam paramananda madhavam sri chaitanya isharam. Hare Krishna. Welcome everyone for the Sunday Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita class. So it has two aspects because we are discussing from four verses. The first verse, verse number 75, concludes the discussion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about different levels of Vaishnava. And the remaining verses are spoken about Pundarik Vidyanidhi and incident related to Purana Shasti festival. So in the last Chaitanya Charitamrita class given by Keshav Maharaj, he spoke about different levels of Vaishnava, I heard, but I was not in the class. So I don't know what he spoke, but I'll try to summarize, because this verse summarizes different levels of Vaishnavas. Text number 75. Vaishnava, Vaishnava Tara, Vaishnava Tama. Kanishta Vaishnava, Madhyama Vaishnava, Uttama Vaishnava. There is a difference between Kanishta and Kanishta Adhikari. So I'll go into the technical details later on. So three levels of Vaishnava. Why this topic came? Because one associate of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. And what is the question? My dear Lord, we are grihasthas. How we can attain perfection being at home? So all of you know that Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas, went to Jagannath Puri. And devotees from Bengal used to go to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu every year. Going from Bengal to Jagannath Puri, it used to take 1 month. And coming back, another 1 month. And they used to stay for 4 months. So 6 months over. And they are not ashram devotees, brahmacharya sannyasis, they are all grihasthas. So very different type of grihasthas, which seem very impractical nowadays. How to take over 6 months? Taking a break of 6 weeks is very difficult. And taking a break of 6 days is also very difficult. Right? Life is difficult. But that time, they used to take a lot of difficulties to get the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sadhana means difficulty. Spiritual life means difficulty. But the devotees accept those difficulties to receive the mercy of the Lord. So the question was asked, and Mahaprabhu said, in order to attain perfection at home, process is very simple. You have to do two kinds of seva. What are these two sevas? One is Nam seva, other one is Vaishnava seva. You have to serve the holy name and you have to serve the Vaishnavas. So they are very clear about the Naam Seva. They have to chant the holy name, they have to do Kirtan. That was a clearer part of the answer. But to do Vaishnava Seva, one has to understand who is a Vaishnava. That's why they ask the question, my dear Mahaprabhu, who is a Vaishnava? Then Mahaprabhu started explaining. He said, whoever chants the holy name of the Lord, he is a Vaishnava. And people are delighted. It's a good news. But they are very serious devotees. And they knew this is not the complete answer. So serious students, they are not happy with the summary study. They want to know in details. Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita and completed Bhagavad Gita in the second chapter only. For us, it's very good news. But Arjuna, he asked many questions and it became 18 chapters. So, love means we have to go into the details. So, the devotees love Krishna, that's why they go into the details. So here, although Mahaprabhu gave the answer, they asked further question. Next year, Mahaprabhu, who is a Vaishnava? So Mahaprabhu said, who chants the holy name continuously, he is a Vaishnava. So another answer. Then the question was asked again, Mahaprabhu, who is a Vaishnava? And Mahaprabhu said, if someone inspires others to chant the holy name of the Lord, he is a Vaishnava. So three levels, Kanishtha, Madhyama and Uttama. Vaishnava, Vaishnavatara, Vaishnavatama. So whoever chants the holy name, he is a Vaishnava. Very simple to understand. But that Vaishnava is not a high-class Vaishnava. He is Kanishtha. Although he is a Vaishnava. Then whoever chants the holy name of the Lord continuously, he is a Vaishnava. Nirantar. No gap. If there is a gap, then he is not Madhyama. So Madhyama means continuously. Trinadapi sunichena, tararapi sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya, sadahari. Sada. What is the meaning of sada? Always. What is the meaning of always? 24 hours a day. 24/7. By hearing that, people become very discouraged. Looks like it's impossible, right? So continuously chanting the holy name, but still he is not Uttamadhikari. Because this verse of Sikhastakam indicates the level of Nishtha Bhakti. There are different levels of Bhakti. Ado Shraddha Tata Sadhu Sangha Bhajana Kriya Anartha Nibriti Nishtha Ruchi Asakti Bhava and then Prema. So when someone attains the level of nistha, what is the symptom? Tinadapi sunichena, tararapi sahishnuna, amanina manadena, kirtaniya sada hari. So actually, spiritual life begins at this level. Up to anartha nibriti, the car of devotional service is in neutral gear. So many things happen, but car does not move. Why? It is in the neutral gear. So you may be attending Mangala Aarti, you will be doing puja, you will be doing this, doing that. Wonderful. But car will not move. Why car will not move? Because it is in neutral gear. So when car will become at the stage of first gear? This verse. At the level of Nishtha, the car of devotional service comes into the moving state, first gear. Ruchi, second gear. Asakti, third gear. Bhava, fourth gear. Prema, fifth gear. So, movement of the car of devotional service begins at the level of nishtha. That's why it is known as steady devotional service, kirtaniya sada hari. But for us it's very, very difficult state, right? So then what to do? So you have another interpretation of sada. Sada means regularly, not constantly. Sada means constantly, but for a sadhaka, not advanced sadhaka, for them, sada means regularly. So what is the meaning of the word regularly? We can interpret in different ways. Some may say, I am regular, I attend every Janmashtami. I am very regular, I never missed Janmashtami in my life, for years. I come on every Ekadasi. I come on every Sunday. These are different interpretations of regularity. But regularity really means daily. We have to practice daily. The next question, how long every day? So that is an interesting point. So Srila Prabhupada used to chant the holy name in Tompkins Square Park under the tree in New York City for minimum 3 hours. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from Gadadhar Pandit in Jagannath Puri every day, minimum 3 hours. Raghunath Das Goswami used to narrate the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at the bank of Radhakund every day, minimum 3 hours. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to dance in Harinam Sankirtan every day, minimum 3 hours. So 3 hours is the magic figure. And it's doable, right? 3 hours daily is doable or not? It's doable. But it is minimum. But we remove the word minimum also. So when Prabhupada started the movement, he said, we have to chant 64 rounds. By hearing 64, there is a possibility of heart attack, right? 64. So Prabhupada never expected heart attack. That's why he said, okay, 32. Then that was also not so encouraging for the devotees. Then Prabhupada said, minimum 16 rounds. But devotees, knowingly or unknowingly, remove that word minimum. They say, we chant 16 rounds. That is all right, but that is minimum. We should not think if we chant one round extra, that will become the 11th offense to the holy name. Because that is minimum. Because we are not able to chant 64, that's why minimum quota has been given. Please chant minimum 16 rounds. Just like we cannot do 24 hours a day, that's why minimum 3 hours. So 3 hours is a magic figure, and Prabhupada also mercifully has given this 3 hours program. Minimum 3 hours. What is that? 2 hours chanting of the holy name and 1 hour hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. So if you do that, this is very, very powerful. Then you may say, oh, attending Mangalati is not needed. That is also needed, but this is minimum. Attending Mangalati is very, very important. Prabhupada said everybody should attend Mangalati every day. And some devotee asks Prabhupada, when can we miss Mangalati? Interesting question. So Prabhupada said, you can miss Mangalati when you are dead. Perfect question, perfect answer. So daily is very important, and daily minimum 3 hours is very, very important. We have to give tangible amount of time in our sadhana bhakti. But nishtha means constantly, uninterrupted, apratihata. Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Sabhaipungsa paradharma jata bhaktir adhaksaje ahaituki apratihata jayatma suprasidati. The pure devotional service is characterized by two qualities. Number one, it should be unmotivated and it should be uninterrupted. Uninterrupted means nishtha. And unmotivated means ruchi. What is the symptom of ruchi? Test. Na dhanang, na janang, na sundaring, kavitang, ba jagadish, kamaye, mama janmani, janmanishare, bhavatad, bhaktir, ahitakitai. This is the symptom of ruchi. Test. So when you develop test in Krishna consciousness, we don't have test in any other things, including liberation. That is a symptom of ruchi. But that is also sadhana bhakti. So a madhyama devotee is from the level of Shraddha to Bhava. According to the Shraddha, three levels of devotees are defined. So from the level of Shraddha up to the level of Bhava is madhyama platform. Different levels of madhyama bhakta. And who is uttama bhakta? Who has attained love of Godhead. Prema. Who has attained prema, he is Uttama Bhakta. And Uttama Bhakta is the eligible candidate to enter into the spiritual world. Nobody else. Madhyama, Kanishta, they cannot enter into the spiritual world. Only Uttama Bhakta can enter into the spiritual world because qualification for the entry in the spiritual world is prema bhakti, not even bhava. What to talk about sadhana. So, then who is Kanishtha? Kanishtha is who is not having faith in Shuddha Bhakti. His Shraddha is very Komala Shraddha, Laukiki Shraddha. His Shraddha is not based on scriptures. He is a Prakita Bhakta. Prabhupada translates Prakita Bhakta as materialistic devotee. Karma Mishra Bhakta. Sadhaka is also a Shuddha Bhakta. So Rupa Goswami explains qualification to render pure devotional service. Qualification to render sadhana bhakti. Three levels. Kanishtha Adhikari, then Madhyama Adhikari, then Uttama Adhikari. So who is Uttama Adhikari for rendering sadhana bhakti according to Rupa Goswami? Whose faith is very, very strong, super strong faith, and he is very expert in Shastra. He is expert in the conclusion of Shastra. These are two qualifications. To become Uttama Bhakta, to render Sadhana Bhakti. Adhikari. Adhikari means eligibility. Eligible. Qualified. Then who is Madhyama? Madhyama, his faith is very strong, but he is not expert in Shastra. He is Madhyama. And who is Kanishtha? Whose faith is also weak, and he is also not expert in Shastra. But all are qualified to practice Shuddha Bhakti. Why? Because their Shraddha is based on scriptures, and they study scriptures. So Kanishtha, Madhyama and Uttama based on the definition of Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So there is another definition in Srimad Bhagavatam. Uttama, Madhyama and Kanishtha. So who is Uttama? Who sees Krishna everywhere? Sthabara jangama dekhe na dekhe tar murti, sarvatra hai tar ishta devas purti. Who sees Krishna everywhere and everybody, that devotee is Uttama. Who is Madhyama? Symptoms of Madhyama are who has affection for the Lord, who has friendship with the devotees, and who is compassionate to the innocent, and who avoids the critics or envious people. These are the symptoms of Madhyama. And who is Kanishtha? Who sees the Lord only in the deity and has no idea about the interaction of the devotees. So he is Kanishtha. So in Krishna book, I think, Prabhupada mentions three different levels of devotees based on what kind of respect one offers to others. Because Mahaprabhu teaches, Amanina Manadena. We should not expect respect, but ready to offer respect. And in that state, we can chant the holy name constantly. Kirtaniya Sada Hari. And for that, we have to have two qualities. To offer respect and not expecting respect, what are the qualifications needed? Humility and tolerance. So these are the four pillars of Nishtha Bhakti. So then, Prabhupada says, who is Madhyama? Who offers respect to all the devotees? He is a Madhyama. And who is Uttama? Oh, first I told Kanishtha, no. Kanishtha is that devotee who offers respect only to the deity and his spiritual master. Nobody else. Madhyama gives respect to all the devotees. Senior, junior, equal. And who is Uttama? Who gives respect to each and every living entity. He is Uttama Bhakta. So you may think, how it is possible to give respect to each and every living entity? That needs spiritual vision. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini suni chaiva sapake cha pandita samadarsina. A person who is in knowledge, who sees, that person sees everyone equally, equal vision. And what is the principle of equal vision? He sees the soul. He does not see the body. If we see the body, we cannot see equally because bodies are different. So equal vision will come when we see from the spiritual point of view. So Uttama Bhakta does not only see the soul in the body, he also sees the Paramatma, the Supreme Lord in every living entity's body. And wherever Lord resides, that place becomes temple. So Uttama Bhakta does not see the body of a living entity. He sees that body as the temple of the Lord. And when we see the temple of the Lord, what do? Offer respects. That's why, for Uttama, every living entity's body is like a walking temple. And he offers obeisances. That is the level of Uttama Bhakta. So Mahaprabhu's idea of Uttama Bhakta is that who can inspire others to chant the holy name. By seeing someone, if we feel inspired to chant the holy name, that is a symptom of a Uttama Bhakta. Means he is chanting the holy name purely, constantly and purely. Means he has attained the level of Prema Bhakti. So that is very, very clear. Uttama means, what is the meaning of Uttama? Very simple to understand, who has attained love of Godhead. It's clear. People have confusion. Oh, he's a pure devotee. He's Mahabhagavat. He does not sleep. He does not eat. So these are not the symptoms of Uttama Bhakta. These are not the symptoms of Mahabhagavat. Symptoms is very simple. What is the symptom? Always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. Prabhupada says, a siddha or a perfect devotee does not forget Krishna for a moment. That is the symptom of a pure devotee. Then, what is our position? Once Prabhupada said, everybody in ISKCON is pure devotee. Good news. Devotees are delighted to hear that, but they are very doubtful also. Because they know what kind of pure devotees are they. So, devotees are compared to mangoes. So, mango is a very famous fruit in India. Prabhupada used to say it's the king of fruits, mango. So, green mango and ripe mango, right? Both are mangoes. But there is a difference or not? So there are two kinds of pure devotee. Green mango pure devotee and ripe mango pure devotee. Sadhaka pure devotee, Siddha pure devotee. Siddha means perfect. And sadhaka means practicing. Practicing devotee can be a pure devotee also. Because in order to practice sadhana bhakti, you have to be pure in your intention. Anna vilasita sunyam jnana karmadi anabritam anukullena krishna anusilanam bhakti uttama. Uttama bhakti means we should not have any desire, material desire. Two kinds of material desire. Desire for bhukti and desire for mukti. Desire for sense enjoyment and desire for liberation. A sadhaka has to be free from these two desires. Because uttama bhakti is also at three different levels. Sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti and prema bhakti. So sadhana bhakti is also pure bhakti. Bhava bhakti is also pure bhakti. Prema bhakti is also pure bhakti. But at different levels. Because process is pure. How process becomes pure? When intention is pure. But sadhaka as a practitioner is not pure. He has anarthas. But he is not enjoying the anarthas. He is doing bhajana kriya to come out from anarthas. If someone wants to enjoy the anarthas, then he is not qualified to render sadhana bhakti. He is performing karma mishra bhakti. And he will definitely not get prema bhakti. Because prema bhakti will come from sadhana, not from karma mishra bhakti. Karma mishra bhakti will take us to the higher planetary system. That is the result of karma mishra bhakti. People become confused. Oh, I am a sadhaka. I can have desires. Yeah, you can have desires, but you are not a sadhaka. Sadhaka must give up material desires. But he is not pure. Why? He still have lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion in the heart in the form of anarthas. But he is working on it, doing bhajana kriya under the guidance of an expert spiritual master. Adho saddha tata sadhu sangha bhajana kriya. What is the purpose of bhajana kriya? What is the purpose of sadhu sangha? Bhajana kriya begins with accepting a bona fide spiritual master and practices the process of devotional service. But what is the purpose? Purpose is anartha nibriti. Anartha nibriti and artha pabriti. So why we are practicing sadhana? To be free from anarthas. And why you are performing sadhana? To attain love of Godhead. If this is clear, then we are bona fide sadhakas. Otherwise, we are out of the purview of Shuddha Bhakti. It's clear to all of you? Because in our society, there is confusion about sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti and prema bhakti. People think we can perform sadhana bhakti with material desires. No. We can have anarthas, but we should not have the desire to enjoy those anarthas. It's a fine, thin line between these two. So, Mahaprabhu is teaching us that if we serve the Vaishnavas, then we can chant the holy name purely. Without the mercy of the sadhaka, we cannot become good sadhaka. Without the mercy of a siddha, we cannot become siddha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, only by the mercy of that devotee who is chanting the holy name purely, we can chant the holy name purely. Mercy is very, very important. But who can give the mercy of chanting holy name purely? Who chants the holy name purely? So Vaishnavas are also at different levels. We can become Uttama Bhakta only by the mercy of Uttama Bhakta. A Madhyama Bhakta cannot make us Uttama Bhakta. So this is very, very important principle. So sadhu sangha is also very deep aspect of our devotional service. Rupa Goswami explains, Sadhu Sangha means we should associate with like-minded devotees. Sajatiya, Snigdha. Snigdha means devotees should be very sober and more advanced than me. Association should be with those devotees, those who are more advanced than me. Then we can get the benefit of Sadhu Sangha. If we associate with only those devotees, those who are not at our level, then that is not Sadhu Sangha for me. That is Sadhu Sangha for those people. So Sadhu Sangha means we should have higher association. If we are at the level of Nishtha, we should associate with those who are at the level of at least Ruchi, Asakti. Those who are at the level of Asakti, they should associate with Bhava, Bhaktas. And those who are at the level of Bhava, they should associate only with Prema Bhaktas. So different levels have different levels of association. But principle of Sadhu Sangha is, we should have association with those devotees, those who are advanced than us. Then we can get the benefit, real benefit of Sadhu Sangha. So then we come to the other part, Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi, in this verse it is said that he has given initiation to Gadadhar Pandit for the second time in Jagannath Puri. So first time it happened in Navadvip. So Mukunda and Pundarik Vidyanidhi were known to each other, and Pundarik Vidyanidhi came to Navadvip. And Mukunda and Gadadhar Pandit were close friends. And Mukunda used to take Gadadhar to the Vaishnavas, whoever used to come to Navadvip. So when Pundarik Vidyanidhi came, so Mukunda told Gadadhar, please go and see Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he is a great Vaishnava. Gadadhar Pandit was very renounced, simple, very, very renounced. Completely opposite to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nimai Pandit was really a very naughty personality, and he was not performing the role of a devotee, and he used to harass Gadadhar Pandit like anything. He was so expert in logic, devotees used to think that Nimai is wasting his time, and they used to avoid Nimai. If Nimai comes from this route, Gadadhar will take another route. Gadadhar was very devoted, very renounced. So when he came to see Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was very opulent, aristocratic background. He was sitting on a very aristocratic place and wearing fancy dress, chewing pan. And people are fanning him. It's like a king. Then by seeing Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Gadadhar Pandit started developing doubt. He started thinking, I have come to a wrong place. He's a materialistic person. But Mukunda told me that he's a Vaishnava. But it was happening inside, internally. Then Mukunda understood the mind of Gadadhar Pandit. So in order to prove the position of Pundarik Vidyanidhi as a pure devotee, what Mukunda did? Mukunda chanted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, where the mercy of Lord Krishna is explained. Aho bokiyan stano kala kutam. This verse explains how Putana came to kill Krishna by giving poison in her breast milk. But that Putana got the position of a nurse in Goloka Vrindavan. What a contrast, right? Somebody came to kill Krishna and Krishna rewarded her to be the mother. Why? Because this is the merciful nature. Climax of mercy. Climax of mercy. Unparalleled, unprecedented. Generally, if the Lord kills someone, he goes to Brahma Jyoti. Maximum Vaikuntha. But here Putana got the destination in Goloka Vrindavan. Very, very rare. Very, very rare. Then we think, oh, better to become Putana. Right? Then why to become motherly like Mother Yashoda? There's a big difference. Our acharyas are explaining, although Putana got the position of a mother in the spiritual world, but she is not allowed to have any direct service to Krishna. She could only see from a distance. She is not allowed in the confidential arena of Krishna's service in Goloka Vrindavan. That is done by Mother Yashoda and her associates. So in order to have service to Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan, we have to follow in the footsteps of Mother Yashoda, not Putana. Anukullena Krishna Anushilanam. So we have to serve Krishna. Then we can get service in Goloka Vrindavan. So coming back to the point of that verse, when Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard that verse, what happened? No, when Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard that verse, he was in ecstasy. Each verse is filled with love of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam verses. So as soon as he heard that, he was in ecstasy and he started rolling on the ground, became unconscious. And by seeing that, Gadadhar Pandit understood, I made a big mistake. And how to atone for this offense? He decided to take initiation from Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So finding fault in others is our natural propensity. And that is the greatest obstacle on the path of our devotional service. Our mind is very judgmental. And in the association of devotees also, we become very, very judgmental. And judgmental mind is the foundation of our offense. So don't try to analyze devotees. Don't try to judge devotees externally. Because we see according to our level. Prabhupada used to say, a thief will always see everyone as thief. A sadhu will see everyone as sadhu. Beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder. If you want to see a devotee, then we have to become devotee. But that tendency to find fault is very, very strong in our consciousness. So here, through Gadadhar Pandit, Mahaprabhu is teaching us how dangerous it is to judge a devotee. So that happened to Gadadhar Pandit. Now same thing happened to Pundarik Vidyanidhi. So Pundarik Vidyanidhi saw and became judgmental. What he saw? That the process of archana was not proper. He saw that starch cloth is used for Krishna, for Jagannath. Generally, starch cloth is unclean. That has to be washed. But the pujaris of Jagannath did not follow this system. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi became judgmental. And what happened? That is coming up in the future verses. Jagannath became very upset. He came and slapped Pundarik Vidyanidhi. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi's cheek became swollen. So upset Jagannath was. So Lord becomes very, very upset when someone criticizes Vaishnavas. Even in the mind. This level are very advanced devotees. That's why it's happening in the mind. And that is also considered great offense. So Gadadhar Pandit did not speak anything. He did not do anything, only thought. Pundarik Vidyanidhi also same. On the thoughts. But great offense. So they are so sensitive. Lord is very, very sensitive for the advanced devotees. For us, offense is very common, daily affair, right? Knowingly, unknowingly, body, mind, words, we are always engaged in this service of offending Vaishnavas. So what's the destiny we can have? So, Mahaprabhu's mother, Sachi Mata, also in mind. What happened? Vishwaroop, the elder brother of Vishwambar, Nimai Pandit, he used to go to the house of Advaita Acharya and used to hear Srimad Bhagavatam constantly. Not regularly, constantly. And he was not coming for lunch or any other activities of the house. And Sachimata thought, my son is really doing spiritual activity, no other activity. So maybe he will change if I arrange his marriage. If he will become married, then he may change. So Vishwaroop got the news and left the home and took sannyas and never came back. Then same thing happened to Nimai. Nimai also was spending time with Advaita Acharya. And Sachimata thought, same thing will happen to Nimai also. So in the mind, Sachimata thought that this is Advaita, this is not Advaita, he is a Daita. So he started thinking negative about Advaita Acharya. And Mahaprabhu took a note of that. And while Mahaprabhu was giving prema to everyone in the house of Srivas, everybody was approaching Mahaprabhu, you are giving to everyone, why not Mother Sachi? He said, she is not qualified to receive prema bhakti. Why? She is your mother. He said, she might be mother, but she offended Advaita Acharya. She cannot get it. So Mahaprabhu gave love of Godhead to Jagai Madhai, but Mahaprabhu is not willing to give love of Godhead to his own mother. So sins are not taken so seriously by the Lord, but offenses are taken very, very seriously. And I say that Lord maintains a separate diary for the offenses. And very difficult to delete those. Very, very difficult. So then Mahaprabhu said, then people asked, then what's the remedy? So remedy is beg forgiveness from Advaita Acharya. So devotees approach Mother Advaita Acharya. When Advaita Acharya heard that Mother Sachi offended him, by hearing that he became so disturbed. He said, Mother Sachi, how she can offend me? She is the mother of the universe. She is the mother of Nimai Pandit. She is the mother of Vishwambar. Then he started glorifying Mother Sachi. And in glorification, he was in ecstasy. And he fainted on the ground. And devotees advised Mother Sachi, now is the time. Take the dust from the lotus feet of Advaita Acharya and you will be relieved from your offenses. So the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees is very, very powerful. So when that dust forgives, then we are forgiven. So it is said, even if devotee forgives, Lord does not forgive a devotee if he offends him. The dust of the lotus feet of the devotee does not forgive. So therefore, we have to take the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees and put on our head. This is a science of freeing ourselves from the offenses towards the Vaishnavas. So here, it's interconnected. Gadadhar Pandit offended Pundarik Vidyanidhi in the mind, and Pundarik Vidyanidhi also offended in the mind against the pujaris of Jagannath. So by this we should understand that offending at the level of mind also has a great impact. Generally in Kali Yuga, if you commit sins in the mind, there is no reaction. But if you commit offense in the mind, there is a reaction. So because it does not stay at the level of mind only. From mind, it will come to the platform of words, and from words, it will come to the platform of action. So you have to be very, very careful, and we should not become judgmental, and don't try to find fault in the others. But finding fault is our strong nature. So I'll tell 5 levels of people, then I'll conclude my talk today. 5 levels of people. 5th level, they only find faults. They only see bad. They cannot see good. Like Paramatma, everywhere. For this kind of people, bad qualities everywhere. Fault, 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 fault. Everywhere is fault. Everything is going wrong. That is the 5th level of consciousness. Fourth level, they find both good and bad, but they focus only on bad. Then third level, they are equal to both good and bad. That is third level. Second level, they see both good and bad, but they focus on good. And the top level is, they can only see good, Paramahansa level. And who can enter into the spiritual world? Who comes to this platform of level one, where he sees good in everyone. Prabhupada expects us, we should be at the level of at least number two. Then that is called devotee sangha. Sangha of devotees means where glorification of the Lord and devotees happen. That is really sangha. Sadhu sangha means glorification, not criticism. And where criticisms and bad relationship, that is the symptom of Kanishtha devotee community. And where there is the culture of glorification, appreciation, that is the Madhyama devotee community. And who can attain the perfection? Those who are in this Madhyama devotee community, they can advance in Krishna consciousness and attain the level of Uttama Bhakti and perfect their spiritual lives. And that is the purpose of our spiritual journey. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Any question, comment, reflections, doubts, clarifications? Now is the time.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Somebody should coordinate the mic and check the raising of the hand. Thank you for that service. Yes.
Thank you so much for this class, Maharaj. You mentioned about Sadhu Sangha. The true Sadhu Sangha is associating with the advanced devotees. But then to understand who is the advanced devotee, we have to make some mental judgment.
Not mental judgment. You have to see Sadhu through Shastra, not through your mind. Shastra says which devotee at which level. Advanced devotee does not mean we don't respect other devotees. Respecting devotees is the universal principle. You have to respect every devotee. You have to talk about every devotee. You should try to learn to respect each and every living entity. So respecting is the universal principle. But what kind of respect and what kind of association, that is the subject matter. If you really want to advance in Krishna consciousness, then we have to associate with those devotees, those who are advanced than me. A teacher has to be more advanced, no? If you, the student more, knows more than the teacher, then why is the need of the teacher? Right? So you have to go to a person who is more advanced. Doesn't mean we become judgmental, oh, he's not a pure devotee, he's a pure devotee. We don't become like that. We have to see our own purpose of life. Our purpose of life is to advance in Krishna consciousness. And how we can advance? By the association with those devotees, those who are more advanced than me. That is the principle. Okay? So you have any other question on this? Don't try to see through your mind. Because mind will always misguide you. Mind is very expert in misguiding you. Don't make your mind as guru. Okay? That's it.
Thank you very much for the enlightening talk this morning. My question is, and please forgive my ignorance here, is there a difference between Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita?
Yeah, this is not the topic today. Bhagavad Gita is one book and Bhagavatam is another book. So Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna to Arjuna. It has 18 chapters and 700 verses. It was spoken on the battlefield of Kurukshetra 5000 years ago. Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedic literature It was compiled by Vyasadeva and having 12 cantos, and it has 18,000 verses. So Bhagavad Gita represents words of Krishna, and Srimad Bhagavatam explains activities of Krishna.
Thank you.
Bhagavad Gita is high school study, and Srimad Bhagavatam is college study. Bhagavatam is higher study.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for your class. I was wondering if you could say more about it, what you said, that we should not make our mind the guru. We also know that sometimes the mind can be a friend, sometimes enemy. So how do we distinguish when do we listen to the mind and when do we ignore
We should
it?
Never listen to the mind. When you talk about mind, we are talking about conditioned mind. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada used to say, we should beat the mind. 100 times in the morning, 100 times in the evening. By broom and shoes. That kind of treatment mind needs. Then mind will become humble. Otherwise, mind will take over your life. And that's been going on since time immemorial. So don't give him chance. Give little chance, he'll take over. Okay? You're not happy with that? One senior devotee told me, when he read Prabhupada's books, and Prabhupada writes, we are not this body and we are not the mind. He was so happy to know that, and he became Krishna conscious. Because mind disturbs the life the most. So when we know that we are not this mind, good news, right? So if you are not mind, so why to bother with mind?
So
okay,
need,
but this mind
to...
can become spiritual when mind thinks of Krishna. Mahaprabhu is telling, more mon Vrindavan. Onnere hridayam mon, more mon Vrindavan. When Mahaprabhu is speaking about his mind, he is telling, my mind is Vrindavan. Why my mind is Vrindavan? Because this mind is always absorbed in the thoughts of Vrindavan, 24 hours a day. Then mind is spiritual. So when you talk about mind, you talk about conditioned mind. Very untrustworthy. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Maharaj, if we only see the good, then how will anything improve?
Very good. That's why Uttama, they cannot preach Krishna consciousness. That's why Prabhupada said, Uttama comes down to Madhyama. So number one comes down to number two. But he sees the bad in others, not out of envy. We see bad in others out of envy. But who is qualified to find fault in others? Who is free from envy? Who has compassion for others? He can see the fault in others and correct that. And who is qualified to do that? Who is having the authority? Guru, teacher, parents. They can find faults with the purpose of correcting them out of love and compassion. Prabhupada said, what can I do? It is my duty to find fault in yourselves, in yours. Why? Because I am your guru. And it's the guru's duty to correct the disciple by finding faults. So finding faults is the responsibility or service of a guru, but not for others. Okay? We should become guru of ourselves. We should find fault in ourselves. Then improve, right? It's called self-improvement. Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Okay, you'll get the mic, okay? Prabhuji, you should check who is raising hand. Okay, yeah. No problem.
Yeah. I think the last question might have answered my question, but sometimes, so we shouldn't find fault in anyone, which is correct, of course. But sometimes due to emergencies, like, for instance, someone may be about to walk off a cliff, and you may have to shout at them, "Oi, careful, you're going to walk off a cliff." Or you can, maybe you can just think, well, I don't want to be judgmental, just let them walk off the cliff. So at what point can we see faults?
but not like in an emergency, but not be inflicted with the reaction of seeing that fault.
Very good practical question. So becoming judgmental and not getting into the picture, two extremes. So there's another approach called curious. Before becoming judgmental, you should be curious to know why. We make a judgment by seeing what and how, but we don't look into the why. So judgmental mind can be taken care of by asking this question, why? Clarify, if it's an emergency. Even if normal situation also, before giving a judgment from your mind, go and ask, Prabhu, I think this is wrong from my point of view. Can you clarify? And through clarification, many things become cleared. So become curious, not become judgmental. But principle of correcting does not depend on... it is not connected with the emergency. Emergency is different. We are talking about regular life. Okay? If someone is jumping and committing suicide, you should not be curious and you should not be judgmental and you should not avoid the situation. You should jump into the situation and help him to come out, to make him out of the emergency. So emergency is different.
Yeah, but emergency, I was thinking more in the sense of not like someone's literally going to jump off a cliff, but someone may be doing something bad, but it may be suicidal for their spiritual life.
Yeah,
they continue. But
good, that's why I told you.
Yeah.
If you see something like that, then you, as a friend, not having any personal agenda, you can go and ask Prabhuji that I think you are going in the wrong direction, in my understanding. Can you clarify? And if you cannot do that, then you can ask his authority to look into the matter. You can express your concern that looks like he is in a wrong direction. Why not help him out? So you can do it in a different way. But we are qualified to do that when we are not driven by envy. We are driven by love. Then we will be successful in our attempt. But most of the times, we find faults out of envy.
So our motivation has to be pure.
Yeah. Then you can help.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you so much for the class. Early on in the class, you mentioned there is a difference between a Kanishtha Bhakta and Kanishtha Adhikari. So I wonder if you can clarify that.
So when Rupa Goswami explains Kanishtha Adhikari, he talks about who has become eligible to do sadhana bhakti. But Kanishtha means that different levels of Vaishnavas. And when it becomes Adhikari, Adhikari means Adhikari for what? So when Rupa Goswami explains about Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyam Adhikari, Uttam Adhikari, he is telling that these are the eligibility criteria to render sadhana bhakti. So there is a little difference.
Thank
but
you.
When you talk about different levels of Vaishnava, their level of purification, their level of Krishna consciousness.
Thank you very much.
That's it?
There's a question.
So many questions. So time limit, Maharaj?
Yeah.
Today is Sunday though, okay, no problem.
Okay, thanks for the teaching around lot of things around anartha, artha and bhakti. So in that when we said about anartha, anger and other bad influences, and you told that bhakti could be a way to get rid of them. So could you elaborate a little bit more on that?
What do you want to know?
First what anarthas are and then...
You already explained what anarthas are. So there are varieties of anarthas, but primarily it is explained lust, anger, greed, pride, envy and illusion. These are the six kinds of anarthas in the heart. And that can be eradicated through bhajana kriya, means performing devotional service. So when we perform devotional service, then these anarthas will go away from our heart. That is called anartha nibriti. Okay? That side is also there. Very difficult for you, what to do?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a lovely class. How can one create changes when you receive correction through criticism, and it shows through the body language that love is not in the correction?
So there are two parties here, one who gives correction and another party who is receiving correction. Till now we are talking about who is giving correction, but you are talking about who is receiving correction. So those who are intelligent, they will correct even if it is coming out of envy. If someone is giving a feedback, even if it is not out of love, is out of envy or politics, if it is right, someone is telling that you are wrong in this way, if it is wrong in our life, then it's our duty to correct it. We should not think, oh, what is the intention of that person, whether it is out of love or out of envy. It's not intelligence. If someone is pointing out our wrongdoings, our anarthas, our weaknesses, we should take it seriously and rectify. That is called intelligence. Because by rectifying, we'll improve.
I just wondered if and how you do it is so important.
Huh?
Is how you do it is important, isn't it? I'm just wondering.
Now you are changing the party again. There are two parties involved. Who is giving feedback, he should be very careful. Yeah. How he should give feedback. And feedback should be out of love and compassion. And he should know whether he is having authority to give feedback or not. If he doesn't have the position of authority, then he should not give feedback. That's not his business. Okay? That is one side. But I'm talking about other side because you asked that question. So choose your side. Whether you want to give or you want to take. Depending on that, answer will be different. So you are not happy with my answer, looks like.
I am happy, yes, but I'm thinking if when you see
our
somebody,
problem is we don't think about ourselves.
No, the bitterness in somebody's face when they're correcting. Well, they meant to be correcting, but criticizing heavily. It makes people run away, I'm sorry to say.
No, I'm telling you that this is our problem. That we always think how others will do. But we are not thinking what in what way I will do.
Yes.
And we are thinking everybody is wrong, I am right.
2 ways.
But who is intelligent, who does not expect others to change? Those who are intelligent, they will think how I can change. How people will act is not in our control. But how I can act is within my control. So focus on ourselves. Don't focus on others' lives. And we become frustrated by seeing how others are functioning. So why to dwell in that life of frustration? Okay? Next and the last.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Yeah, it was a really nice class, so thank you so much.
Don't ask difficult question. Okay, it's the last question.
Okay. So, you know, you were saying earlier on that we need to take the dust of the lotus feet of advanced devotees, yeah? And I'm just wondering, do we literally ask for this? And what if their feet are really clean and don't have any dust? Or does this actually mean that we associate with them and get it symbolically through their vani and by the mercy, by pleasing them and serving them?
So when you talk about the dust, it literally means dust. It's a very interesting question you asked. But the modern lifestyle is such that dust is not available. What do you talk about dust? Lotus feet is also not available. It is covered with socks. So it literally is dust. And I gave a seminar on the dust. So dust of the lotus feet of the pure devotee is very, very powerful. Three things are very powerful according to Chaitanya Bhagavat. Bhakta pada raj, bhakta pada jal, bhaktir uchchishta tin sadhanar bal. Chaitanya Bhagavat explains this. Bhakta pada raj means the dust from the lotus feet of the pure devotees. Bhakta pada jal, charanamrita of the pure devotees. Bhaktir uchchishta, the remnants of the pure devotees. And there are numerous examples to prove this. From Chaitanya Leela, from Ramanujacharya's Leela, different Acharya's Leela, Ram Leela, Krishna Leela, everywhere. Example after example. Example is Narad Muni. Narad Muni, he took the remnants of the Mahabhagavats, the Bhakti Vedantas. Immediately he became transformed. Prabhupada's life also. Many devotees got transformed by the dust of the lotus feet of the Prabhupada. By the Charanamita of Prabhupada, by the remnants of Prabhupada. Numerous examples. Very, very pure. Externality is very contaminated, not dust. Oh, dust for the lotus feet. Water from the lotus feet. From material point of view, these are very impure, right? And people avoid that. But from spiritual point of view, this is the most pure. But that should come from a pure devotee, not from any devotee. It can easily transform our life. And it is said, we should do abhishek. Prahlad Maharaj says, Mahat Raja Abhishekam. Who can render pure devotional service? Who has bathed himself with the dust of the pure devotees. He is qualified to understand pure devotional service. Okay? That needs a lot of humility.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hari Bhav. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.